front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
To Daniel Liss. I'm going to go ahead and do the rest of the hour with him, and then I'm going to tape a special Easter show later, but I'm going to come in live probably. There's too much happening. Warthog shot down. Now I'm being reported by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. In the Strait of Hormuz, that means an invasion of the Strait of Hormuz. But, you know, I normally with any other guest drop this subject because this was more important, but at the end of the day, it all flows downhill from this. That you've got Congress members saying I've been briefed on alien invasions. You've got other Congress members saying, yeah, animal, you know, human alien hybrids. You have Trump saying he's about to release it. Obama saying, yeah, the aliens are real, trying to head each other off. Something big's coming. Like they know there's more and more activity, more and more stuff being seen. I remember like 20 years ago, one day getting out of my car at my parents' house, I saw some weird orb high up during a thunderstorm, but I thought maybe ball lightning or something. But then a few weeks ago, I'm up at like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., go out drinking coffee, see 9 red lights, just 3, 3, 3, over the house. Then my phone is just in the house. I'm like, and then they all merge into one white ball. And then now red balls are chasing everything. And there's all these weird fireballs coming in. Point is, stuff's changing. I don't know what it all is. I don't claim to have all the answers. So everything I've told you is true. Like when I told you 2019, high-level Elon Musk person wants to come meet with me, wants to go to dinner, and tells me, says, we just want you to have this information about a base, and they're already building it with 3D printers. They're going to launch the Mars mission from the moon, and we want you to say this. And then I did, and now they're announcing it. I don't know how this world works. I don't think they know. It's bizarre beyond belief. But we'll go back to Daniel Lister in a moment, but here's a clip of myself 20 years ago talking about the hijacker passports. So just to understand the level of lying they've engaged in, and now somehow they think that's coming to an end. Now they want to reveal it, but put their spin on it. Why are they losing control? We'll talk about it in a moment. Here's a clip.
What I'm told. You see, I remember the night of 9/11. I've been on air off and on all day, and they said, oh, we found one of the hijacker's passports in the wreckage of the collapsed towers. Now, remember, there's several feet of asbestos and concrete dust, millions of papers conservatively blowing around, body parts aren't bigger than an inch long, and magically, right there in front of everyone is one of the hijackers' passports, proving they did it. And one of the other hijackers' bags got stuck in the conveyor belt and didn't make it with all the admissions, and a car with all the admissions of how they did it, just right there, open and shut. Now, this plane at 500-plus miles an hour flies into the building, and off their person, the passport goes through the fireball, through the building. The plane is vaporized out. But wait, it gets better. It's like Gollum's ring. It calls to you. And as I've said earlier, it's made out of Thor's hammer, stuff that's indestructible, like the center of a sun. It falls to the ground and is found that day and produced the next day to the world by the FBI. They found it in all the millions of papers and the dust and the dead and the fires and the smoldering slag. Over 1,000 degrees hotter than kerosene can burn, but never mind the fact that months later there was molten slag down on the bottom. All of that happened. And then wait, it gets better. They found another passport, two, almost completely undamaged. Then they found another one at Flight 93. The whole plane disappears into the ground. Just disappears, engine miles away. But the plane disappears into a hole in the ground, but the passport didn't. Oh, no, they had that one, too, because it's made of a substance, like a quark's gluon particle that is impregnable. They ought to build Abrams tanks out of this. I mean, they could have our special forces wear what that passport was made out of and then just tank rounds would bounce off of them like Superman. I mean, reportedly, if you eat one of these passports, you become Superman. I mean, it's from another planet. It's from Krypton. Okay? I mean, again, but if you don't believe that those passports came magically out to the ground, were found, and presented to the public, I mean, it's incredible that they were found, much less they survived. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're going to buy whatever you're told.
All right, Dan, listen, I'm going to ask a lot of questions to interrupt you. You're doing a great job. We'll give you the floor for the next 20 minutes we have in this segment to go wherever you want, big picture, what you think is coming next. But obviously, big stuff's happening. We're at a time of total change. They can't suppress anymore for whatever reason. They seem panicked. Daniel Liss.
Wow, incredible. And it's really true that this is the crucial period. And we're passing through this period. You've got the war. You've got the UFO file revelation. You have this disclosure. You have the battles in the background around it. You have the Trump presidency and his own base turning against him over the war. I mean, we're in a very, very perilous situation, not to mention Russia and Ukraine and all the nuclear foibles going on in the background. And the articles going out there saying, hey, yeah, let's, you know, we can exchange with a nuclear exchange. And it's no big deal. I don't remember those articles when I was growing up. But it's fascinating that clip with what you were talking about with the passports, because that's how they do a deep event. And they will do anything to get that story across and how they found the hijackers so quickly and all the rest of it. Those deep events now in history, they go all the way through from the JFK assassination, your 2001 September 11th and the crash of 2008 with all the, you know, things that were going on in the background, TARP, et cetera. And then you get into this COVID op that brought us into the another deep event. Now it's the UFO file. That is the crucial aspect. And then a huge piece involving the technology. Now I'll show you where the twain meet. And that is through the figure of a character who controlled the UFO file for many, many years named Bobby Inman. And Bobby Inman was a CIA director, he was an NSA director, a key man inside the government, but was known and even spoke about the UFO file and said, one, we know what the craft are, but not only that, he said publicly, we know who's inside operating the craft. Well, that's a pretty that's a pretty interesting statement from a former CIA director. But Inman is fascinating because he immediately, when he left office, he went directly into creating AI. And all of the AI companies and all the people that you see out of AI come directly out of his early efforts, or at least in great part, some of the top people involved in AI. And if you think of somebody coming out from this very elite program on the inside, dealing with Breakaway X technology, and then revealing it to the public through, again, a corporate channel. So you have that haze of this intelligence agency aspect working with a corporate entity. So it's right between the political side, but you don't get the oversight of Congress or the White House and the executive control that the president would ordinarily have if it wasn't taken over by this other group. You have a covert group operating and the overt public government responding to their deep events and the things that they do. And what we know over and over again, the people involved in those deep events have connections to the continuity of government program. So
and
they
define
are
deep event, for those who don't know, catalyzing key historical events.
Yes, exactly. Once you get the deep event going, everything, policy changes, you know, you get a totally different shift in government. Look at all the things that we picked up. We picked up Northcom with 9/11. And I'm so glad you played that clip because you were onto this so early. And I want to stress this again. We have to be onto this early. The people who can see this in advance. And then, so we get the jump on them before they have, oh, there are UFOs, they're hovering over the United States, we're in a threat situation, the continuity of government people are taking over, that's all there is to it. We think about a guy like Inman, did he take then that UFO file material that he learned in those programs for 20 years and parlay it into AI? And is that why we're getting so many strange things in relation to AI? And is that why we have predictive programming warnings all the way back to the 1980s with the Terminator movie that you're going to have Cyberdyne taking over? You know, and you've got in a Space Oddity, you have the same theme. We know this theme. They've leaked this theme out that the AI at some point takes over. So if we were using something other than normal, regular computer controls over these years, were we splicing in, since Bobby Inman was at the head of so much of the AI programs, were we splicing in advanced UFO exotic technology directly into that process? Is that part of the problem? You see how the UFO file gets right into the heart of the national security state, but it spills out into industry. As a matter of fact, the project that McCaslin was working on and that Monica Reza, his assistant, who also disappeared, were working on, had to do with that memory metal, which they had redeveloped from UFO craft. That metal is so important because it can withstand any kind of heat. So we can make any kind of space engine with it. This was the crucial aspect. And for some reason, these people who actually had patented this technology now, they're working under the government auspices, but you have this corporate control, they go out and patent it. Well, was that one of the mistakes that were made in the process here? And now they just released the call that McCaslin's wife made to 911. And she says, well, I get the impression that he intentionally, you know, he changed his clothes. And I get the impression that he intentionally, you know, he left everything here that was important and took off. So he's leaving
on purpose. Turned on his cell phone and left. It never does that.
Exactly. And here's where I want your expertise, Alex, because I learned about predictive programming largely from listening to your show. And the predictive programming in the background on this is extraordinary. I think that the template that's being used, and I get into steganography very often, as you know, I think that the template that's being used, believe it or not, is Breaking Bad. It's the television show Breaking Bad. Because if you go back into the pieces of that show, McCaslin's disappearance are almost exactly like Walter White's disappearance in the show. And this is the strange thing about it. He had worked at Los Alamos. He was in Albuquerque. All of this is McCaslin 20-some-odd years later. So that show is going on, say, in 2010, and here we have 15, 16 years later, this guy disappearing. And the template for it, there's actually a clip that's online that's available just about certain aspects of that show that have nothing to do with the McCaslin case. But one of the clips is about Walt's cell phone is missing. And there's this whole aspect about Walt's cell phone. If you go into those details and match them up with the McCaslin missing disappearance case, it's very strange because the facts almost line up directly.
Well, that's like The Simpsons, where yes, thousands of times they call it lesser magic, but they believe, not just if they tell you, but if they tell you up front, they believe it, like, it greases the skids for some metaphysical thing to happen.
Exactly.
It's like a lubrication.
It opens up. Right. They call it playing with the medium. They are playing with the medium of reality and injecting things into it. Although the predictive programming narratives I've always found fascinating, and they always turn out to be true, which you wonder, where did they get the advanced knowledge
from?
We're
made in the image of God, not God, but in Genesis, what we envision we do. So they have to get us to think it to then build it.
Right. We're creating the construct, right? Thoughts are things. That's the rule in the mystery schools, is you create the reality with your thinking, so the reality comes to be. So if they can get 8 billion people thinking a particular thing, it becomes reality. You know, that's the observer effect, as it were. The thing about Breaking Bad was so fascinating because I had never even followed the show, but after running across a number of odd things that had come in through that show that were so much like the McCaslin case, it was just undeniable. But then I started to look into other cases around him, like the Monica Reza case, where over and over again, these people are giving up and putting their smartphones in their mailbox before they leave. This is another trademark signature going on in the heart of this case. And I'm wondering over and over again, why would you leave your smartphone in a mailbox? That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And in the case of, Jason Thomas, who was missing, he was missing from here as a scientist for Novartis. And in fact, Trump had met with Novartis right around the time that this guy went missing. And there's a chemical, pharmaceutical, biological aspect to this, as well as a redevelopment of memory.
And talk about that.
UFO.
What you're saying is you're picking up on weird protocols that only people programmed by this will get it. So more than that, it's like the TV show is programming people already ready for this.
Yes, they already have the template to lay over the cases. This is what I find so fascinating. And there were a number of things that you've tracked that had me thinking about this in the past. But this case, I think, is particularly interesting because in the case of Breaking Bad, you know, Walt, he disappears. He goes off into, and they say, oh, he's in a fugue state. He goes off into the desert and he shows back up naked in a store. And they, you know, they're like, oh, he's in a fugue state. The police come in and they talk to him or whatever. But that whole thing is made up. It's a whole made-up story to hide his drug activity. I don't think this has anything to do with drugs, by the way. But I think the template is very interesting that this all happens in Albuquerque. He's from Los Alamos. There's a drug aspect, of course, with what he's doing. But in fact, he's hiding something. He's hiding a technology that he's using.
This sounds crazy for people to know. These occultists, they are upset with art forms to tell you. And they pick things that do that. That's the biggest TV show ever. One of the top shows in history. Yeah, I get it.
And there's no question when you look at something like Alice in Wonderland or The Wizard of Oz, they are training manuals, in fact, for certain types of symbolism involving the mystery schools, but that gets adopted and perverted inside of the intelligence groups. There's no question about it.
So how do you, let me ask this, there's so many ways to go. You're so close to this, you're giving us all this terror, which is great if you're read into it. Most people probably hear it, it's like, what does this mean? Obviously, there's multiple groups here, but it's coming out. They're scared. They're nervous. What are they scared of?
Well, they're definitely afraid on the inside that the narrative will get ahead of them. So if there are people working
they don't longer control
the
narrative. That's what I was told. I want to shut me down is we're tired of your new narratives, period. The fact you create new narratives, we want you done.
Oh, yeah. They try to get rid of your name completely and censor who you were, your show and everything else. And, you know, before you were let back on X, but when Elon took over, they had taken you off X. I mean, this is extraordinary censorship. They had taken the president of the United States off X. So that was an attempt, an incredibly bold
attempt. So what is the revolution there, the battle behind the scenes about that?
Yes, exactly. But when you think about it on the UFO side, see what they have to do. They have to co-opt the message because once they started to learn, oh, so many people are into this, they can't block it anymore. There's too many people who are aware of it. It's too integrated into society. Now we have to co-opt it. So when we co-opt it, we give them the false narrative in relation to the UFO file. This is what we see over and over again. And the people in the background, you know, when I talked to some of those whistleblowers in the background, I found over and over again, they were controlled by the same people. They were put forward by the same people. They were introduced to agents and book agents and movie agents by the same people. And guess what? They got Hollywood movies. We have their Hollywood movies coming out this summer. We have, you know, Day of Disclosure with Steven Spielberg. We have the S4 Bob Lazar movie. And we now have the Top Gun director doing a whole thing about the UFO file. His movie's coming out in June. What do they know? What have they been dimed into? Just like a lot of these Congress people, there's telling them in the background, keep talking about the UFO subject. The UAP, the UFO train is coming in. It's coming in. So that's the way that I look at it.
People ask me how I knew they were going to stage 9/11. I had a lot of data points. But the last thing was a few months before Pearl Harbor, the movie came out, and a couple other Pearl Harbor movies. They were priming it. I could just see it. But let's talk about that. And I love Rogan. I'm not saying about him. He has a bunch of guests on. But he's like, oh, my God, the other day, how does Steven Spielberg know about aliens so early? Close Encounters, all that is government propaganda. He's been read in, obviously. Speak to that. And all these big UFO movies being in production for multiple years, perfectly for this time, and what it speaks to what's about to happen.
There's no question. Spielberg in particular comes from that very elite slice. They figured this is a guy we can work with. Kubrick actually was a little erratic for their purposes and wanted to get out of the box, from what I've heard about him and his background. But Spielberg is a little bit different. They might have said, well, this is a guy who's interested in UFOs. Let's have him take on this whole story. He's so ahead of everyone. He did Close Encounters in 1977. That's 50 years ago, practically. So, you know, he had the whole thing down, rock solid, all the way back then. But he became very close with President Reagan. And when they did the E.T. movie, they showed it at the White House. And then Reagan came forward and said, you know, I really want to give an honor and tribute to Spielberg. Everyone in this room knows that that movie, E.T., is not fiction. It's fact. So all those people in that room remembered it, and they wrote it in
autobiography. I saw it in the news. Elaborate on that. What a crazy statement.
It is. I mean, it's kind of incredible when you think about it. And I always think Reagan is a key figure when you're looking at this. If you want to look for pinpoints on the board in the past and how it connects up, because even Trump – what I found out is very interesting, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but Trump was part of the continuity of government group in 1987. They called him in. He was part of the disaster planning. So he knows a lot, wrong time before he gets into politics. He has his uncle's UFO file.
He was roped in under InfraGuard infrastructure protection.
Yes, exactly. And what's interesting, when we look at the continuity of government program, it is the perfect response tool that they can use for a UFO threat. This is why you had, when they were doing those Chinese balloons and that nonsense, and they said, oh, it got through because we hadn't adjusted our sensors. Are you kidding me? You know, a balloon from a foreign country? No way. So when they were doing that, the continuity of government guy came out. It was not, he was the general. It was not Biden who came out and addressed it. It was him. And he's the NORTHCOM commander. We have a new one now, Brian Geo. And he, what I hear is on his way out, he's going to be gone in August. So I'll be watching very closely. They're also merging NORTHCOM. This all works together. So that continuity of program is now going under something called AmeriCom, which is a brand new proposal by Trump and Hegseth. And guess what? It connects to the Golden Dome. So now forget about Northcom and Southcom. It's AmeriCom, baby, and it's connected to the Golden Dome. Well, that's total surveillance, true, and it's a total encroachment of the citizens, but it's also a huge UFO defense grid using both continents and the entire hemisphere. So when we talk about the hemisphere blocking and the things they want to do with Cuba and all the rest of it, you're looking at a huge takeover. That's where you get the Greenland hassle as well. And the Golden Dome has to be right in the center of this conversation about the UFO file. So if these come out,
I love how we can't even defeat Iran or Vietnam or Iraq, but we're going to beat the aliens. I mean, that's so delusional.
Well, that's exactly it. This is the nature of the problem. That's why the UFO threat is drummed up. But you know what, Alex? If they get a UFO defense office, and I'm sure they already have one, we just don't know the name of it. It's not been put out publicly. I am sure.
Oh, you know there's an Earth defense system.
Yes.
Well, just with the asteroids already set it up. The UN wanted to unify the world around asteroid defense.
No question about it. Well, Bezos just announced a program as you were seeing fireballs land in Austin and all the weird things that were going on in Austin. I got emails and emails that whole week when we did a show last week. I got all these emails from people who were like, oh, yeah, you know, I saw this and I saw the craft coming down. Then I saw two orbs lifting it up. What? That's not normal activity for me.
That's the thing is, folks, we're not in Kansas anymore. Stuff is exponentially getting crazy. And we're kind of creating a myself included, a normalcy bias where it's just now normal, like all this insanity. Like I'm out at 4:30 drinking coffee and nine red orbs fly over. And then it's like it's not even real anymore.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And this is an opening of a period in time. And astrologically, believe it or not, this has been tracked out. All the things that they were pushing so much with the marketing of 2012 and all this stuff. Well, the Mayans did pinpoint the period. They just did not pinpoint a date like that. But they were in the ballpark, right? We're right in the heart of it. That was 14 years ago. Well, guess what? You know, they saw the big change and we were in the heart of the big change.
Well, really, but I would say this. Their prophecy just says a relighting of the hearth. It doesn't mean the end. It means a new thing starting.
Exactly.
When you start a fire, but it takes a while to be going.
No question about it. But I will say this in relation to the UFO file. This is huge because it has to go one or two ways. Either you get the real thing or you get the CIA, NGO, NRA version of that and forget it. You know, if you get the NRO version of this with the NGA version, you're getting a complete false version of humanity's past and future.
I get the feeling it doesn't matter what they do now. They're going to stop anything. They know something big's coming. Whatever's about to arrive, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
There's no question about it. And if we look back to the mystery school work, they warned of Earth changes in the period. Is that part of what
we're
seeing?
Are we about to see a pole shift? Let's come back with Daniel List, our journalist. Stay with us.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, or information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. Out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself if you sat on the fence to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!